This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hello and welcome to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. I'm Chris.
I'm Gordon.
And that by
elimination.
Elimination makes me feel like I'm thinking of the word. I knew the name though.
Thanks very much for joining us on this, our little history program. We talk about ancient history, recent history, modern history, possibly future events.
Well, hopefully, yeah.
In the words of Donald Rumsfeld, there are things we know.
No. I bet you won't get all of this.
And there are things we don't know, but there are things...
Knowables that are known.
There are known knowables.
Known knowns.
Unknown knowables.
I just think we just sort of get on with the show.
But he got paid a lot of money.
We could be here all day with that one.
And we wouldn't stop with him.
No,
we're not going to stop with him.
So we're hoping to provide some illumination to some of the events that have happened that mightn't have been particularly important at that particular moment, but we, in hindsight, and hindsight, as we know, is a great thing.
We have 20/20 vision in hindsight.
Yes, it's very useful to look back at these events and see with our modern eyes. So in today's program, we'll be commenting about last weekend's European Song Contest. We'll be talking about Mythbusters? Yes.
Okay.
Who was she? Mr. Buster's daughter.
Yes, and some icons and role models. We'll be talking about Ida Hobbit, the event coming up on the 17th of May, which is not all that far away. And Ida Hobbit, Phil will try to explain to us what each of those letters means.
All I know is if Idaho, I'd do more gardening.
Yeah, sure thing, Phil.
Yes, Phil.
And, I don't have a garden.
We've got a couple of icons that we'd like to honour at this particular event. However, European Song Contest, not for everybody.
Certainly.
I watched the whole thing at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, were you doing your ironing?
No. I get up and I'd had breakfast and I thought that the thing was on at 5 o'clock. So I actually set it to record because I always go out for a walk at 6 o'clock every morning. And I went out at 6 o'clock and came back at 6:30 and continued watching.
Well, good for you.
And I thought it was interesting. My pick of the thing didn't win. I thought the Austrian song was one of the better songs because it was really good. I thought Jess Mauboy was absolutely incredible. She just worked the audience completely. And
And Phil, did you watch any of it?
I staggered out of bed and at the end of the news on Channel 7, whatever their Sunday morning show is, it was in the background on the screen coming up live. So it hit me randomly and I thought, well, okay.
Now I know who won it, I don't have to worry. The staging of that thing is so spectacular, which is an amazing thing.
Well, it's
thing.
Modern effects, isn't it?
Yeah, it really does the way they do it. It's very, very clever. Very clever with all the I forget where she was from, but she sang in an operatic voice. Beautiful voice.
Oh,
beautiful
yeah.
Operatic voice. But the gown she had stepped into was then illuminated with all sorts of bits and pieces.
It's what you'd always want if you're going to wear a flash frock.
Well, if you're going to be a drag queen, you might as well look beautiful.
But it is such an expression of campery.
That's right, yes.
As well as gayness.
There was a program I saw on the television about explaining how it was one of the truly gay things that happen in Europe. In any part of Europe.
That must get up the noses of a few countries.
Oh, a few.
I think Mr. Russia was a little bit...
Russia deleted some of the gay, the rainbow flag being flown, and the two boys that they're having a song sung about them. And,
the Irish one.
The Irish one, which was a nice song, but
yeah.
It was, and China didn't get it because they didn't want to show something.
Oh,
so
no.
The owners of the European Song Contest.
During the rehearsal shows a couple of days prior, this is when China wanted to censor. And so European Song Contest said, well, if you want to do that, we can go click. And they switched the whole
thing off. That's
and
right.
They got nothing.
Yeah. Well, this is it. You know, if the rest of the world can watch a campery, gay-type show with some really quite some nice songs and some clever production, well, if they just want to spoil it, well, they don't deserve to watch it.
But they take their bat and go home.
Yes, that's right, yes. And they did.
But it was interesting, though, that Israel, in the final countdown, won the event.
Yeah. And it was interesting because the young lady that was in it, I read something in the paper about it a few days beforehand, and she was one of the favourites to win. And they said it was because people had been watching the previous recordings and all the rest of it, and they just said that she was absolutely wonderful. Well, she was very clever, and she was, and they likened her to Bjork from Iceland, they said she had that sort of off center sort of way of doing
quirkiness. It's quirkiness.
Quirky, yeah. She was quirky. She did a chicken dance at one stage. They were all doing the chicken dance. And Mr. Netanyahu, the next day when he found out they'd won, he's walking to some representative and he did a chicken wing thing to say that Israel had won.
No. Her name is Netta.
Netta. Mm. So, yes, a very diverse sort of person, apparently.
And she's quoted as saying, "Thank you for embracing difference." Mm. Well, there was so much difference in the whole of that particular show.
Oh yeah,
It was wonderful to see.
Oh look, it shows our lifestyle, not our lifestyle. It shows that we are a part of the community and the world. That's right. Yeah, and it's very well received all around Europe and a lot of the world. Canada is another one that takes it very seriously. They watch it a lot in Canada.
Yes.
America don't give a continental, but
no, but they don't understand it.
No.
However, Canada, I think, with their French population as well, would love to be part of the deal.
Yeah, yeah. The British thing was a bit Surrey was a bit unfortunate. Some bloke jumped on the stage and tried to drag her off, but he was quickly moved out by the security staff.
He was described as a serial pest.
Yes.
How do these people get to be serial?
Well, they should probably come in a box, you know, that you sprinkle it out everywhere.
Yeah, but if they're known for doing such things, how do they get into venues?
Well, they disguise themselves, I suppose. They wear different clothes and all the rest of it, you know, because we used to have a serial pest here in Australia, but he soon got well known and certainly got stopped from going onto football grounds and things. Yeah.
I wonder how the rest of Israel population, not just the Jewish population, but the Palestinians and the other Arab groups that still live within the borders of, how they react to that particular year, the European Song Contest.
I would have thought, Chris, that it would have been depending on the city you lived in. Jerusalem, of course, is very, very strict.
Yeah.
And had they been in the Tel Aviv, I'm sure, was watching it with great thing because the Tel Aviv is the centre of the gay life in Israel.
They're very enthusiastic in lots of things there.
And I would say that most probably that's where Netta lives or something rather. I think she'd live in Israel, not in Jerusalem.
In Tel Aviv. I found a little item from Gay Star News dated the 13th of May 2018. That's how fresh this piece of news is. This is the first same-sex Jewish couple to be married in Australia. And they were married on the 2nd of May. And it's quite impressive that the Jewish religion has got so much variation in opinion.
Oh, yeah, because there's different sects of the Jewish religion.
Yeah, the liberals, the progressives.
And the ultra
And then there's the ultra-conservatives.
The conservatives and ultra-conservatives, yeah.
Yeah. And they were married in the synagogue.
Oh, well, there was a place, I remember reading somewhere where there was a gay, I don't know what they are in Jewish religion, the priests or whatever they are, and he was marrying gay people. I think it was in one of the other countries. I think it could have been in America or somewhere.
One of the rabbis there.
A rabbi, the word I'm talking
about. Yeah.
Thank you.
In Judaism, there's a lot of fundamental interpretation of the word.
Oh, well, there's a lot of that in every religion, though, isn't there?
There is.
You know, it doesn't matter whether you're Christian, Muslim, or Jewish. In the three great religions, there's a lot of fundamentalism in them.
And being in Australia, the rabbi that married them was able to use the modern wording of the marriage ceremony. I now pronounce you husband and husband.
Well, that's what they were, weren't they?
That's what they were, indeed.
Yes. Apparently, not the partner and partner, it's husband and husband. Yeah.
The whole synagogue broke into clapping, and it was just amazing.
Well, it's the same with a lot of our same-sex marriages these days. The people that go there are really that thrilled that their loved ones can be together.
Have you been to a Jewish wedding or seen one on TV?
No, I haven't.
Cinema?
No, they're very
part of it under the
canopy
is the breaking of the glass. And that the shards of glass are not just to think of what is broken, but also the power of your love to bring healing. Love
symbolism.
Is love.
Love is love, and it doesn't matter how you love or who you love. If you love them, it's love, and that's the way it goes. I'm sure that's pretty right, Phil, isn't it?
Yeah, I was just reading in the notes here that the synagogue is a pluralist congregation that welcomes the Masorti progressive renewal sects of Judaism, all of which supported same-sex marriage in Australia.
That's right, they did too. Yeah.
I don't recall hearing much from the Jewish side of things during the debate.
That was probably because it was not controversial within their mob.
Yeah, not with them anyhow. Would have been. You probably had a few of the fundamentalists would have been doing it, but you probably wouldn't have seen it in the local press or anywhere, but they would have kept it in their own newspapers and places like that. Yeah.
Yeah. You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. 13th of May 1950. A young fellow was born, but within about 3 years of his life, he lost his sight.
Yep.
That was his vision, but not his four. He wasn't eliminated out of society. He was able to exist continuously. Stevie Wonder. And this is, I reckon, his best and most famous song.
Someone who needs me, someone I've needed so long. For once unafraid, I can go where life leads me. Somehow I know I'll be strong. For once I can touch what my heart used to dream of long before I knew. Oh, someone warm like you would make my
Joy 94.9 in Melbourne. Joy.org.au for the world.
And you're with Phil, Chris and Gordon, been there, done that, on our little radio program. Thanks for being with us. A big hello to Ellie, who I spoke to on the phone during the week when she renewed her membership. Oh. Thank you, Ellie. She said, I recognise your voice. And I thought, oh dear, here we go. And she's, I love your little show.
Oh, she listens. Good on
you,
Ellie.
So that is lovely to get that feedback, Ellie, even though it was a bribery. There you go. We were talking about Israel, but we forgot to mention, because the music crept up on us, that on this day,
the 14th of May, 1948, I think it was.
1948, yes. Yeah,
that was the founding of Israel.
Well,
the state of Israel.
State of Israel was proclaimed. Normally, a country fights for the patch of land and have little local wars to say, this is where our mob's going to stick it out. Whereas Israel didn't come into being through that process because the religion, Judaism, was all over the world.
That's right, yes. Actually, it was Palestinian, Palestine at the time.
Exactly, yeah. And the piece of land that the Jews were given, in effect, after World War II and the horrors thereof, was carved out of Palestine.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's why there's a lot of strife there now, because the fight that people normally have to get their entitlement or to get their heritage realised, wasn't actually fought face-to-face with the two occupiers. It was imposed on them by British and American.
But the fighting's been ever since.
The fighting started after it was proclaimed.
Yeah. And I think there's going to be trouble in that state for a few years to come yet.
But you've got to realise that that whole area was carved up by the British and the French after the First World War or something rather, wasn't it? The Iraq, Iran, Syria, they were all sort of carved up and given to the different things.
Well, the lines on the map were redrawn,
you know.
They were drawn.
Yeah, withdrawn, yeah. And,
but see, there's other lines, there's all those religious lines, which seem to go back to that area.
That's right.
How could it ever have been a good idea?
Oh, it was a complete disaster.
Seemed like at the time, you know.
Well, what was Plan B? Must have been pretty bad.
Yeah. Anyhow, but
now, was one disaster, but there was another disaster around about on the 6th of May 1937. The Hindenburg dirigible airship catches fire and crashes. It didn't actually appear on the TV from what I can remember earlier this month when that was the anniversary, but there's often that is shown as an Israel of the big airship, this big long sausage machine thing coming in to connect to the land, and then all of a sudden fire breaks out. It was always thought to be a lightning strike or something like that ignited the hydrogen or helium.
We're not good on our facts there, but we don't know.
That was inside the skin of this airship.
But there was most likely a static spark because it's been moving through the air, not attached to ground. And that's where you just pick up all these extra electrons and go on nylon carpet and touch a metal door handle.
You get a tick, tick,
You'll get that little lightning bolt on the end of your finger.
Yeah.
Well, that's all it would take to ignite flammable gas.
Oh, right.
But the guys from Mythbusters, you'll get that wrong, have been looking at the film, much as all of us have for years, and there's a very distinctive burn pattern in the skin of the Hindenburg.
It didn't actually explode, did it? It burnt.
No, it was not an explosive gas eruption that brought the ship down. And they built scale models, big scale models, using the same material. And they must have done it two or three times. And every single time it had exactly the same burn pattern. On the film, it just looks like it's not like paper. It sort of glows and then just vanishes.
Mm-hmm.
And it just travels across the skin.
Yeah, it was a silver-coated, silver-coated fabric, wasn't it?
It was, it had a name. Again, I haven't got my facts with me today. But they basically concluded that the ship was brought down by the skin burning, not by the gas burning.
Mm.
Now, that doesn't solve any particular problems. Because the thing still came down.
Once the skin burns, the gas escapes, and the weight of the thing just brings it down to the ground, doesn't it?
And I don't know if we see it in real time because it looks like it's falling in slow motion.
Mm.
But I have a feeling when something's that big, its scale just would make it look as if it's slow, whereas I'm sure it didn't feel slow on board.
But that's the wonder of modern science, that we can go back to these events and apply our modern knowledge and find out. So thank you, Mr. Mythbusters.
Now, if the Hindenburg had paid some attention to the Titanic, and if it hit an iceberg, it probably would have survived.
Yes, probably would have.
Hindenburg
iceberg. What's the difference?
I had to steal that from you. Oh, I've been aching to do that for centuries. Well, since last century, anyway.
Yeah.
So we see events with different eyes. And there's been some icons in the past, some gay icons, that with our modern eyes, you would think, why on earth did we ever think that they were worth considering as part of our community? But I think Gordon and myself, and probably you too, Phil, can say that our choice of gay icons only in recent years has become as wide and as broad as we see it at the moment.
Well, yeah. Chris, in the 50s, when I was growing up, there was virtually no gay icon. There was no, if you went to the movies and there was a screaming sort of fancy boy, you know, sort of in the, he was always the best friend, or he was the murderer. And in the end of it, he always got his just desserts.
Which was to be written out of the script.
Bumped off, yeah. And this was all through the 50s and in the 60s, this was the the norm. And then there's a few people were around that you could say were your icon. Well, you looked at them and you thought, gee, they're rather lovely looking men, because at that stage you were looking for your people that you would...
Mm. There's a theory going around now about James Dean in the movie Rebel Without a
Cause.
I was going to say Clue. The younger boy character had a complete and overwhelming crush on James Dean's character. But I don't recall it being highlighted by the script or anything. But it was sort of by the behaviour and the protection given to the younger one.
But it's with our gay eyes that we see these things.
Yeah,
straight
probably.
People wouldn't have picked up on that. What was that Roman film that was reconstructed?
That was Quo Vadis, I think it was, when Charlton Heston and Gordon Boyd, before the race, they had to drink champagne through one another's arms, and Gordon Boyd was to look into
Charlton Heston's eyes
with absolute adoration and love coming out of it.
It would be very hard to do that.
Yes. And Charlton Heston didn't know what was happening. Yeah, that was Gore Vidal, who was a gay writer, of course.
I mean, we try and get that in European Song Contest, but there it was in a film back in the 1950s.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a wonder that little piece wasn't cut out and left on the cutting room floor.
And that's where you go. If you want to see all these things, you find the video of the celluloid closet, which tells you all about the gay people that were in the film in those days.
Again, with hindsight, though.
Yes. Well, they were gay, then people knew about it.
See, when I was growing up, looking back, the only person I would have ever thought to be gay and not an icon would have been Liberace.
Yeah.
Whereas now, it's just names everywhere.
Well, there's so many shows that are on HBO at the moment that are featuring totally out families and gay characters, and everybody's there.
It's cool to be gay.
Well, it's good to be gay, yeah.
The Flintstones had a gay old time.
Yes, they did too.
In their theme.
Alan Bell, the US screenwriter and producer, director and actor, he created a very interesting, groundbreaking TV series some 30 years ago. Previous generation would have sat down and watched it. Yeah. 6 foot under.
It
featured a fellow that went on to become the character Dexter, who was the serial killer.
Yeah, but
there was also our Rachel Griffiths from St Kilda.
Of St Kilda, yes.
Yes, she was.
She was a real star in that show, actually.
She was. It got her break. But the story, it was set in
an undertaker's office.
Undertaker's office. So therefore, it was controversial on that score. But the son, who was about to inherit the family business, he had a black boyfriend, and that was featured. And then there was and the young daughter, she was a little bit of a rebel as well.
She was a bit bisexual. She actually had girlfriends and boyfriends, yes.
Yes, and so there was the way of introducing to the public in the guise of a serious TV series were all these other social aspects.
Yeah, but before that show, back in the 60s, it must have been 70s as well, was Billy Crystal in soap. He was a totally gay man in soap. And he was the very first gay man in a series.
Of the modern era.
He was the butt of the joke.
But he still got his word in and sort of made them eat their words by the end of a series or something, or end of a show.
Yeah. But in 6 Feet Under, were they trying to be sensational
with those various
characters?
They're just like an ordinary family, actually, that was running the business.
And you know, it's the same as Roseanne. These days, you can have a mixed family. Most families are mixed. Straight people beget gay people.
Don't tell them that.
Oh, yes.
They'll be shocked.
You're on Joy. Stay tuned. There's more.
Joy Podcasts. Where you want them, when you want them. joy.org.au or your preferred platform.
Love radio? Joy is now on iHeartRadio. Turn us on anywhere.
You're with Phil, Chris and Gordon. Been there, done that on Joy 94.9.
Coming up is a very international day, of course, coming up, Chris.
Yeah, on the 17th of May is Ida Hobbit. It's not about hobbits.
No, it used to be about Idaho.
Yeah, potatoes and things.
Well, it was originally just called Idaho, but then they added the extra little bits and pieces on it to it, because it's the International Day Against Homophobia, Bisexuality and Intersex People. anybody in our
rainbow
family, actually. And it was proclaimed the International Day on, when was it? 1980-something, wasn't it?
Is there any significance in May 17th?
17th of May, the WHO organisation declared that homosexuality...
Not the WHO organisation.
World Health Organisation. They decreed that homosexuality was not a disease. That was on the...
That was the brilliant thing that the psychiatrists came to the conclusion about.
The whole medical fraternity, actually, I think.
If we could selectively infect people with gayness... There's no correct way of saying this.
No, well, they approached the situation on the basis that you can't turn a gay person straight and you can't turn a straight person gay.
Now, I was reading an article about the fact that there's very, very few straight people because given the right circumstances, everybody will indulge in...
Well, the fluidity of sexuality,
yes.
They're my biggest words for the day.
Oh,
but
good.
It's saying these days that we've got to be tolerant.
Mm.
And I think to a lot of extent, we in the gay community know what it's like to be on the end of intolerance.
Oh, yes.
So we probably are a little more tolerant, but it's the bigots and the one-track, one-eyed monsters need a bit of education.
The religious right.
So what are they doing to the younger generation coming up? Because as we know, habits and behaviour are taught.
No, they can be taught. They can be taught, but I think if a gay person who is going to be gay knows that they're gay from a reasonable age, you know, but they try to hide it a lot, and they have a lot of people have internalised homophobia for ages and ages and ages before they finally realise who they are.
That's realisation, but unfortunately, the hate and intolerance can be taught.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you're not born hating gay people.
You've got to be taught everything because nobody is born to hate people or nobody is born to be racially discriminatory or anything like
and
that.
And tolerance is not a good word. Acceptance.
Acceptance.
See what Idaho is trying to say, it's against discrimination. Mm. We don't want to be tolerated. See, I might tolerate a bird tapping on my window early in the morning. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean I like it.
No.
Or approve of it in any way. So, but if I can accept it. And actually, I've got to point out something I saw the other day, which is very, very sad. On our newer cars, we've got rear view mirrors that fold in
when you're
parked. I saw this poor little bird trying to look at his reflection on this mirror that was not showing to the street. He needed to know he was a pretty boy, and he couldn't see himself because the mirror was closed.
I thought you were going to say that the mirror had been in the out position.
No.
And the ignition was turned off and it squashed
him. You've got a very cruel mind.
My windows do that, but you can only do it when you lock your car.
Yeah, but I just thought that's a sad thing, a part of modern technology that didn't think of the birdies.
Oh, dear.
We've got discrimination in the sporting arena at the moment with Israel
Folau. Yes.
Now, what's he getting on about?
Well, he's because of his religious convictions, he's totally against homosexuality, and he's been spouting this as a top-class rugby player. And it's getting under the noses of a lot of people, but the Australian Rugby Union will not take any sort of hard line against him and tell him to sort of shut up or anything like that, you know, and it's causing a bit of thing amongst the community. And there was a very good, interesting letter in the paper the other day from a young man. I presume he's young, but he was saying how because of his sexuality, he'd never played team sports because of the discrimination that he felt he would get, you know. And he was sort of saying that the rugby people were very, very, very soft.
They possibly need to do what the AFL has done, and that's examine their own behaviour and their own rules and circumstances and go through the self-cleansing.
Well, there's also a young man. There's a young man is suing the AFL at the moment too from Queensland. I think he played for Queensland. He's put up with racism and all the rest of those things while he was playing because he was, I think he said he was from Nigeria, actually.
Well, his father was.
But his father was.
There's a whole culture, though, in male team sport that the sissy wouldn't be allowed to play. And that has not gone away.
Oh, God, no.
Either from the teams and certainly not from the spectators.
But look at Roberts, the rugby player that came out after he'd retired. And he was so big that nobody would have picked on him anyhow.
In the gay sports world, we have the Bingham Cup.
That's right.
In rugby, mm-hmm. which is fought for
by the
on
gay,
the field, on the sporting field.
By the gay sides.
By the gay sides.
But they've also, Chris, they also welcome straight players that want to play with them.
Yeah.
Which is rather good. Yeah.
So perhaps Israel Folau needs to look at that as well.
His eyes will never open.
No, no. He's totally religiously convinced that that's it.
Mm. And why Bingham Cup? Mark Bingham was the US rugby sportsman, but he also died in the World Trade Center.
9/11.
No, it was when they were going to crash into the Pentagon.
Was the Pentagon.
And he and a few other passengers diverted the plane, so it crashed into a field.
They were Flight 57.
Yep.
There was a person who was able to think of others rather than
before himself.
They had heard about the Twin Towers. I guess they had enough information to figure out
what was going to happen.
Whereas a lot of other people hadn't figured it out. And they made the conscious decision to give their own lives to bring that plane down before it could kill other people.
Yeah, well, it would have killed a hell of a lot of people had it crashed into the Pentagon.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know the destination. It was certainly towards Washington. One plane had hit the Pentagon, and the White House was
probably
rumored to be
the next
thing. And there would have been no way of stopping it, because the air defence forces were in disarray.
But Bingham was as considered a gay hero, which is rather good. They've named the Rugby Cup. I think he played American gridiron football, and that's why they decided they'd turn the Rugby Cup into the Bingham Cup, which is rather good.
So we have some gay icons and some people that on the other side that need a little bit of education.
Oh, yes.
Joy, out, loud, proud.
And you're with Chris, Phil and Gordon. Been there, done that, Joy 94.9. It's about time, I think, that we celebrated some of our other icons this time round, because we've got lots of birthdays in this time. 16th of May 1941 was born Miriam Margolyes, and she opened our show.
She's been here a few times into Joy. Yeah. She's lovely.
She is actually, at her age and with her body weight, she is really suffering badly with her joints.
Yeah, she's got arthritis, I think bad arthritis or something, isn't it?
And she is finding that she's needing assistance in mobility. So it's not good. It's not good for her.
Yeah.
But we all get old and croaky and groany and everything. She has still got a very, very sharp brain on her head, and she played Professor Sprout on
Harry Potter.
I was going to say that, but it didn't.
She was in Harry Potter. I think almost every star of the British screen was in Harry Potter at some stage or other. But I've never seen one of the Harry Potter movies. But
Me either.
Yeah, it could be quite interesting to see just what they do with it. But
someone else is having a birthday round about this time. On the 20th of May 1946 was born Sherilyn Sarkissian.
She's just been recently in Australia.
Yes. Hello, hello.
Had a photograph taken with the Prime Minister.
Oh, I was always told to share and share alike.
Yes.
Yeah, Miss Cher.
Yes, Cher is coming out. She wants to come out again for next Mardi Gras.
But she's coming out later in the year to do a concert tour for the first time in 20 or 30 years or something
like that. Did she make the comment? No, someone else made a comment.
The one that was in the paper about the headlines you don't read, which new part of Cher is going to be touring Australia?
That's not
very,
nice.
Very, really naughty about our lovely
Cher. Think she has her original vocal cords.
Yes, we think so, yes. But she didn't look as though she was 70 when she was here for the Mardi Gras with the and being part of the street parade and all the rest of it. She was quite good, actually. But she had a shocking life to start with when she was living with Sonny. Sonny used to belt her around. He was a rather nasty pasty, but he finished up the mayor of San Diego, I think it was.
Okay.
Palm Springs,
was it? Yeah, I knew he finished up as a mayor when they'd split up. Yeah.
And they were, a regular family. But look what happened to their offspring.
Yeah, well, they had the daughter who is now transgendered.
Yes.
Yeah, yes.
Chastity.
Chastity.
Has become
Chaz. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And is a great supporter of our community, being a part of it.
Oh, yeah.
But she suffered mightily, I would have imagined, being born in that era and coming up the hard way.
Yeah, but Cher took a while, apparently, to come to terms with the fact that Chaz had transgendered. She wasn't very happy about it, but now she's quite comfortable with the whole situation, which that's all it can be, isn't it? I mean, to say you can't do much else about it.
Well, Chastity grew up in front of the cameras.
That's right.
On the variety show, and was very much a girly girl, always dressed
as a girly girl.
Made up as a girly girl.
But she probably felt that she could have been in overalls and getting under a truck or something rather than being on television.
Mm.
Yeah.
You shouldn't presume.
I'm not presuming, but she probably felt like doing it. But she was very happy
There are all sorts of expressions in ambition and in...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In all sexualities.
Yep. But there's... That's the
no
thing.
There's no stereotypes at all.
There's no
stereotypes.
Yeah, look at us. Look at us three. Oh, my God. Don't look. It's a horrible sight.
No one would listen to a stereo that looked like us. And you're listening to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9.
Someone else who was part of the early days of confusion of gender and sexuality.
Oh,
is
right.
Is that about right?
No, that's probably right.
We're talking about Marlene Dietrich.
Marlene Dietrich, yeah.
She, as a film star of the 1930s, would appear in what appeared to be men's clothing.
Oh, often.
Yeah, with a tuxedo and with a long back. And she favoured her being expressed in that way rather than in flowery, frilly frocks.
She didn't like the flowing, frilly frocks.
A double standard, though, in that women can be accepted wearing men's clothes without question. Like, there's a very handsome woman you would hear. Yet a man dressed in women's clothes is prejudged.
Yes, yeah.
It's just a very funny juxtaposition.
They were never quite sure of Marlena's sexuality because she was married. She married a chicken farmer in California.
Oh.
She was married to a chicken farmer.
I can see the wedding now. No, 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 no,
no. She could appear on Eurovision Song Contest.
But she had a very masculine voice, didn't she? Very low.
See what the boys in the back room will have.
Yeah. But see, that was just considered her character.
Yes, that's right. Yes, she was a character actor. And she was a very good actor. You know, and she was a beautiful looking woman. She had the most beautiful face with the bone structure and everything. She was just a very attractive
flawless
woman.
Complexion.
Yeah. Well, we don't know how much makeup she had on with that. It could have been puttied on or something or other, but she was a rather gorgeous looking woman to look at.
Yeah, she was born in 1901, 27th of December, and she was a German citizen.
That's right.
But she decided to get out of Europe in the 1930s,
yes,
the troubles really began.
She had appeared in quite a few movies in Germany before she left to go to America. She was enticed into America by somebody that had seen her on one of the films and wanted her in the Hollywood studios. Remember reading that.
In the film Blue Angel in the 1930s, this is when her persona came as being totally different, and therefore the spotlight fell on her.
Yeah,
oh, clunk.
but that was, of course, before the rise and fall of Nazism, when the gay and lesbian people were sort of crucified by the Nazis and the SS and all the rest of it.
But with Marlena, my visual image is black and white.
Oh yes,
which reminds me of a moment on Rockwiz in this past weekend. They had a young man who was very knowledgeable on all the musical questions, and he answered a question that was, I forget the guy's name, it was like a really old singer. And they said, oh, you know, how would you know that? You're so young. And he said, oh, that was before the world was in colour.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's like some demarcation in time.
Yeah, like in the Wizard of Oz film.
Well, yeah, that's
right. They had to change all the makeup when they did that because they were filming in black and white. And when they went to colour, the colours that they had to put on as makeup on the face was not the colour that came out. on the screen.
Yeah, that was or a, other it, way around. The colour that they wanted on the screen
had to be darker than, or look, yeah. than what they were showing or something or other.
It wasn't quite like TV when colour TV came to Australia.
Well, I still have an issue with my car because I've got a colour TV camera on my rear number plate.
Have you?
So when I go into reverse, it shows me what's going on. Well, if somebody goes past with a really bright red car, it comes out a little bit orangey.
Oh.
Should I take the car back?
No, no, you've probably got a camera that's set to NTSC standard.
We don't have that in the digital world. That was never the same colour.
Twice.
Or it was the National Television Standards Committee.
Oh, right.
I don't know what you're talking about, quite frankly.
Old acronyms.
Oh, right.
And the way TV graduated from being off-colour TV, colour TV.
Well, I frequently see people who turn green, like they did on the old colour TVs.
But the American colour was worse than what we got, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was
a
totally different system.
We got the German system, speaking of Marlena.
We got the German system, which was the best one.
That's about the end of today's show. Thanks for being with us.
Oh,
Gordon, you're yawning.
Yeah.
Well, it is that time of day, night or morning.
Oh, sometime, something like that.
Well, you might be listening to us at 11 o'clock at night on Tuesday evening.
Or up early and hear us on Wednesday.
Wednesday morning, 5 o'clock.
Or listening on a podcast.
Exactly.
In which case you shouldn't be yawning. It's the middle of the day.
And if you'd like to communicate with us,
you can send an email from your email machine, your electromechtron, at beenthere@joy.org.au.
Thanks very much. We'll catch you next week. Listen then.
Okay. Bye for now.
And it's goodbye from him. And me.
And me too. Bye.
Bye.
Australia's only LGBTI radio station, Joy.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.